questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadali, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today, we would like to continue our previous session, where we talked about why is it that in this case, the Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, he married Ja'da, knowing fully well that she would poison him in the future. We mentioned that the knowledge of the Imams, it is different from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of the events that would happen, they are firm and they are not changing. Whereas the knowledge of the Imams, it could be flexible, it could change. Another one such answer was that the Imams, they had access to this knowledge if they wished to have access to this knowledge, but because they know fully well that just by Allah not already teaching them this knowledge, they know that Allah's will is that they should not know of these events. Now, dear Sheikh, let's circle back to the marriage of Ja'da and Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, and please provide us with even further information about this topic.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The other aspect that I would like to talk about in more details today is the fact that the culture of marriage at the time of the Prophet and the Imams was not the culture that today we see among us. What I mean is that at that time, in some cases, especially when it comes to our Prophet, his marriages were done because of some expediencies, for the cause of Islam.
Right.
And another culture was that in many cases, the other people came to Prophet or Imams and proposed their daughters to Imam, for the Imam or for the Prophet to get married with them. And usually it was against the culture of the time for the Prophet or the Imam to reject that. So, unless for a very good reason.
Right.
So, in the case of Ja'da also, her father came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, the father of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and proposed the marriage to Imam Ali alayhi salam. I mean, telling Imam Ali alayhi salam that he asked the Imam to ask Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam to get married with his daughter.
Right.
So that is another point. So Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam did not go to begin with to ask for Ja'da for
They names. Were approached.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and at that time, I mean, this culture requires the Imam to accept unless there was a good reason. And we mentioned in the previous session that we cannot prove that Ja'da was a very bad person.
Right.
And unrighteous.
She was not a righteous person.
Yeah, from the beginning. No, later she was deceived by Muawiyah. In some cases, it's been mentioned that for a father to come to you and, tell you that you may get married with my daughter, if you reject that, it sometimes it was considered as a great disrespect.
Of course.
And in some cases, it's been mentioned that maybe before Islam, it was considered as a kind of announcing a war because people coming from different tribes. And now the father of the girl is coming to you, you are rejecting that. It is as if you are proclaiming a war.
You have humiliated him.
Exactly.
Especially in the old Arab and still today with this Arabic tribal system and culture.
Exactly. So we shouldn't think that it was Imam Ali alayhi salam or Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam who asked Ash'ath, the father of Ja'da, and Ja'da herself for marriage. No, they came. I mean, Ash'ath, the father, came to Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Q Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So, in many cases, I mean, even at the time of our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, the Holy Prophet, in almost most of the cases, his marriages were because of some expediencies, which I will refer to some of them. And
so this marriage, it was perhaps, we do not want to say completely forced marriage, but it was also a political marriage.
Yeah, to some extent, yes.
Right.
Let me, before talking about our Prophet, refer to the chapter At-Tahrim. Of course, in some way, it is also related to him, our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. In chapter At-Tahrim in the Noble Book of Quran, the stories of six women are mentioned. One of them is Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh. The other one is Maryam, salamullahi alayha. And then we have four other women. Two of them were the wives of the Prophet, and two were the wives of Nuh and Lut, two prophets.
Right.
In the case of Prophet Lut, it's been mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran that she was among the disbelievers, and with the divine punishment came, she also, was killed.
Yes, this verse that we are here to save all of you except for your wife.
Yeah, except for your wife.
Right.
The same is true about the, according to some narrations, for the wife of Prophet Hud alayhi salam. It's been mentioned that in one case, the people of the Prophet Hud came to the house of the Prophet, asking him for, some prayers and supplications. There was a lady inside the house. She opened the door, and the people told her the story. And she said that if Hud could pray to God, and his prayers were answered by God, then he could have prayed for himself.
Okay, so, then. Right. Yeah. So it's very explicit that she was not a believer. Okay.
Or maybe was not a very, truthful believer anyway.
Right.
So people went, and later they found Prophet Hud, and he prayed for them, and he told them that you can go to your houses and you will have rain.
Right.
And then the people told him the story of that old woman, and Prophet Hud, according to some narration, said that she is my wife, and God is testing me through her, who is an enemy to me. And it's better for me to have this enemy within my house instead of having this enemy
outside.
Right. So we see the same in the history of some of our prophets and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, that to have such a bad wife is an example of showing patience and, practical example to the people.
So the Prophet, peace be upon him, all of this trouble that he had. Some even say, I've heard some scholars jokingly say that that was the miracle of the Prophet, his patience that he had when facing these wives that he had.
That's the point. And as I said, in chapter At-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks very directly about two wives of the Prophet who are somehow bothering him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow is threatening them that if you continue to do so, it's possible that the Prophet may divorce you. And this is mentioned explicitly in the Noble Book of Quran. So this is the case. My point is that marriage at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, is not on the basis of the Prophet and the Imams choosing the best women at
right.
their time.
Not always.
Not
right.
always. In many cases, they are somehow, as you rightly mentioned, they are not forced, but they choose to do so because of some other experiences.
There's a benefit for the Islamic Ummah. Right.
When it comes to our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, it's been mentioned that some of his marriages was because of the Prophet to attract the attention of the people of that tribe.
Right.
And it was, very practical. It benefited the Prophet a lot. Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, was from the tribe of Taym. Hafsa was from the daughter of Umar, was from Adi. Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, was from Banu Umayyah. And Suda from Bani Asad, Maymuna from Bani Hilal. Safiya was an ex-Jewish woman. So the point is that the Holy Prophet, not in all the cases, is choosing the best women at his time to get all married right. with. No, through these marriages, the Holy Prophet is able to attract the attention of the people, and we see some, practical benefits of it. For example, it's been mentioned that right from the time that the Holy Prophet got married with one lady from Banu Umayyah or Banu al-Mustalaq, no more danger came from those tribes anymore, because they right. considered the Holy Prophet as their son-in-law.
Not an ally of them.
An ally right. and son-in-law of the tribe, not
yes,
only the
right, yeah.
father-in-law.
That's how political marriage were back then and still are to some extent here.
Exactly. A Christian writer in this regard writes that Prophet Muhammad married Habiba, and this way he became the son-in-law of Abu Sufyan. And through that, the enmity of Abu Sufyan and his tribe was decreased.
Right, of course.
So this is the reality of the marriages, some of the marriages of the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. So in the case of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, there are a couple of points. To put it in a nutshell, we said that, first of all, it's not Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam asking for marriage. No, it is proposed by her father. And it was disrespectful for Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam to reject. And as I mentioned, in some cases, it was a kind of disrespect to the whole tribe.
Humiliation, yeah.
And not only to that family. And also, we talked about the fact that it was very likely that at that time, Ja'da was not a corrupted person.
Right.
And also, the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet are not going to act upon their knowledge of the unseen when it comes to their, daily issues and daily affairs.
Right.
It's a marriage proposal. Imams and the Prophet are going to act upon their normal knowledge and not the knowledge of the unseen. Also, when it comes to the martyrdom of the Imams, we said that it is possible for the Imams not to know about these issues because...
Right. Either by choice or they simply do not know.
Yeah,
right.
because they know if they want, and maybe in these right. cases they didn't want to
yes.
know.
And just like perhaps a final point, all of these marriages, they were done with the benefit for the Islamic Ummah,
exactly.
and not only for the Imam. Like
exactly.
you mentioned yourself, the Prophet, he married all of these daughters from different tribes, not because they were the more righteous, or the most richest, or whatever practical benefit there was. No, because you said yourself to attract these tribes, not
exactly.
to himself only, but to Islam. And that is the prophethood, that is the prophetic mission,
mm-hmm.
to do tabligh, preach to the people. And the prophets and also imams, they did whatever they could to do just that. And with that, we will end today's program because we are out of time. I thank the dear Sheikh for shedding some light on this very historical and important event, And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزان. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن، إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن، علي وحسين وحسن.